supposed to peak the next couple of weeks. We may next Sunday and perhaps the following, so more people could come, have services in the parking lot. Everybody stay in their car, and I'll preach, but we'll see. I'll have to talk to Brother Mark and work out the logistics of how we can do that. But do be in prayer concerning that. Exodus chapter 33. This chapter follows the idolatry with the golden calf there in chapter 32. We see in chapter 32 that God's people had broken their covenant with God, and as a result, 3,000 men died. And from appearance, the future of Israel was very uncertain at this point. Moses prays for the people. And at the close of chapter 32, the Lord said to Moses, "Now go, lead the people unto the place which I have spoken unto thee." And then chapter 33 opens with the restatement of God's plan for the people to go into the promised land of Canaan. And Moses is directed by God to return to the camp with a message from the Lord. And we see that in verses 4 and verse 5 of chapter 33. And the people humble themselves before the Lord. Verse 6. In verses 7 through 11, Moses goes outside of the camp, pitches a tent, and those who truly wanted the Lord in their lives were to go out to that tent. And as Moses is making his way out to the camp, verse 8, we read that the people stand at the doors of their tent and watch. And as Moses enters his tent, it's called tabernacle here. Of course, the tabernacle hasn't been built yet, but it's just referring to a tent. So as Moses goes into his tent, we read in verse 9 that the cloudy pillar descended, and the Lord talked with Moses. In verse 11, we see this was face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. So God's presence was with Moses as a friend. Keep that in mind. The people are standing in their tent doors. They could see that cloudy pillar, and they knew what that meant. They knew that that was the presence of the Lord. And we read in verse 10 that the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door. What a picture. All the people standing in their tent doors, their eyes are upon this cloudy pillar, and they're worshiping the Lord. And God's presence is with Moses, and the people are worshiping. That's the picture that's painted here. Now, if we go to verse 12, and we'll read verse 12 through verse 17. "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now the way that I may know. Show me that I may know, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said," that is the Lord, "my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, this is Moses speaking now, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. In these verses, again, you have the presence of God with Moses as a friend. And you see Moses in communication with God. In verse 12, Moses reiterates God's instruction for him to lead the people forth. God had told Moses that he would send an angel before him. And Moses says in verse 12, thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. And then Moses repeats what God said to him, verse 13, yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. And then Moses prays for confirmation and manifestation that God will be gracious. In verse 14, God speaks to Moses, my presence. Think of those two words, my presence shall go with thee. He's talking about God's gracious presence in the context here. He's talking about God's presence as a friend. He's talking about God's communing presence. The very presence that Moses was now experiencing, God says, my presence shall go with thee. In verse 15, Moses replies to God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. Moses realized how much he needs the presence of God. And he expresses that outside of that presence, all would be vain. All would be vain. So Moses is experiencing a very special presence of God. And he longs for that very same presence to go with him. Again, verse 9, the cloudy pillar descended, and the Lord talked with Moses. Verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. That's the presence that we're talking about. So I want to speak this morning on the much needed presence of God. First of all, just think of the subject of the presence of God. The Bible has a lot to say about the presence of God. Again, verse 14, we have those words, my presence. Presence means the existence of a person or thing in a certain place. My presence. Now in the Bible, of course, the presence of God carries a wide range of meaning. There is the omnipresence of God. And by that we mean that God, in the totality of who He is, without any expansion, without any multiplication, without any division, He penetrates and fills the universe and all of its parts all at the same time. That's the omnipresence of God. It means, of course, that God is everywhere, present and again at the same time. God is presently present in the past. God is presently present in the present. And God is presently present in the future. We can't grasp that. But that's what we mean by the omnipresence of God. And the omnipresence of God is again taught throughout the Word of God. Notice in Psalm 139, verses 7 through verse 10. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. Then notice over in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 and verse 24. Jeremiah 23, verses 23 and 24. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? He fills heaven and earth. And he does so all at the same time. Not at different times, all at the same time. That's the omnipresence of God. He says in Isaiah 66 and verse 1, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. It is a picture of infinite God everywhere present. And again, all at the same time. An infinite God cannot be confined to a finite place. The very doctrine of the omnipresence of God states that God is spirit. Because nothing can be everywhere that has weight and mass. So God is everywhere. He's everywhere at the same time. So that means that God is infinite spirit. And being infinite spirit, he's not tied down to any part of the universe. He penetrates and fills all, and again, that is at the same time. The omnipresence of God reminds us that we cannot fully comprehend God. We cannot fully comprehend who He is. We cannot, and it also declares His absolute sovereignty, the omnipresence of God. There is no place where God is not. And there is no place where God is not God. If God is there, He's there as God. So there's no place where God is not, and there is no place where God is not God. So you have the omnipresence of God. Now, the omnipresence of God consists of several different aspects. His presence is not all the same. We know that His glorious presence is in heaven. All of heaven is filled with His glorious presence. In hell, there is no glorious presence of God. In hell, it's the presence of God's wrath. All through the earth, all through the universe, you have the providential presence of God. So you have the omnipresence of God, but then there are different aspects of that presence. And that brings us to the presence of God that we read of here in our text. And what we read here is the manifest presence, the manifest gracious presence of God. Again, in our text, Moses is experiencing this particular presence. presence, the gracious presence of God. It was a presence that he could see. It was a presence that he could feel. Again, verse 9, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, the tent of Moses. It was not just some supernatural force. It was not just some supernatural influence. But it was something that was very personal. It was something that was very real. It was a presence in which, verse 9, the Lord talked with Moses. You have the omnipresence of God. But in the omnipresence of God, God does not talk with everyone. But there's a special presence of God where God talks to individuals. And that's what Moses is experiencing. And again, verse 11, face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. So it is a presence of friendship. It is the presence of a relationship. It is the presence of acceptance. It is the presence of favor. And it was also a presence in which Moses talked with the Lord. Moses said unto the Lord, verse 12, and it's this presence that the Lord is seeking, that Moses is seeking to go with him. Moses knows he's to lead the people. He does not know what that entails, but he knows this: I must have the gracious presence of the Lord. I've got to have that. It was this presence that God, if you remember back in the burning bush, God spoke of this presence. In Exodus 3, verse 12, he said, certainly, I will be with thee. Not just in an omnipresent way, but in a gracious way, in a way of friendship. When Moses was 120 years old, we read in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6, the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. It is this presence of God that was promised to Isaac. Genesis 26, verse 3, God said, sojourn in this land and I will be with thee and will bless thee. It was this presence that God promised to Jacob. Genesis 31, verse 3, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. It is the presence that God spoke of to Israel in Leviticus 26, verse 12. I will walk among you. It's the gracious presence of the Lord. It would later be the presence that God promised to Joshua. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Gideon was also promised this presence. God said, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites. Is this presence that David spoke of in Psalm 23 and verse 4, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, skip a few words, thou art with me. Though thou art with me. It's the very same presence that God spoke of in Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Isaiah 43, 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Isaiah 43, verse 5, fear not, for I am with thee. It is this presence that was also promised to Jeremiah. Be not afraid of their faces. I am with thee to deliver thee. And he spoke that promise to Jeremiah on several different occasions. Haggai spoke to the people. Haggai chapter 1 verse 13, I am with you, saith the Lord. Haggai 2 verse 4, the message to Zerubbabel was, I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. It was this presence that was promised to Paul in Acts 18 verse 10. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. It is this presence that Paul spoke of in Acts 27:23. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord. It was this presence that Paul desired for his readers of his letters. Closing each letter, expressing his desire for the grace of God to be with them. What he's doing is he's expressing his desire for God's presence, God's gracious presence, to be with him. And now in verse 14 of our text, we hear God say, my presence. My presence. It is the gracious, favorable presence of Almighty God. The gracious, favorable presence of the Lord of hosts. It is His presence as our friend. It is His presence as our rock. It is His presence as our refuge and fortress and our shield and our shepherd. It is in this presence that you have the manifestation of His love, and the manifestation of His mercy and His long-suffering and His care. And Moses knew, I don't know what it leading these people, I don't know everything that entails, but I know this. I need this presence of God. Got to have it. And Lord, if you're not going to go with me, then let me not go. He desired this presence. Now this presence of God that we're talking about creates a special atmosphere. Again, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. And most are oblivious to God's presence. Most are totally unaware of the omnipresence of God. It has no impact upon their life. It has no impact upon their thinking. It has no impact upon their judgment. It means nothing. There is not a special atmosphere created by the general omnipresence of God in the hearts of men. But this presence that we're speaking of this morning creates a special atmosphere. In our text, verse 10, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. This presence of God that we're talking about, this gracious presence of God, wherever it is felt, creates an atmosphere of worship every time. Every time. You cannot be in this gracious presence of God and not worship. In our text in verse 11, again he spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. This presence creates the atmosphere of a relationship with God. Also in verse 14 of our text, my presence shall go with thee and I. That is, I present with you will give you rest. So this presence of God that we're speaking of creates an atmosphere of rest. It creates an atmosphere of peace, security. It gives a sense of safety and strength. It creates an atmosphere of assurance and refreshment and even recharge. My presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 20, we're considering the atmosphere that this gracious presence of God creates. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Verse 4, the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. We see this presence of God creates an atmosphere of courage. So it creates an atmosphere of worship. It creates an atmosphere of relationship. It creates an atmosphere of rest. It creates an atmosphere of courage. And you look at all the promises of God's presence. We referred to many of them. There's an enablement that goes with the presence of God. In other words, it creates the atmosphere of I can. I can. I don't know how, but I know I can. Because God is with me. That's the atmosphere that this presence creates. It gives strength. It gives strength so that you and I can go on through the troubles. So that we can go on through the problems and the difficulties and the trials and the struggles and all the perplexities. We can go on because God is with us. Creates a special atmosphere. Judges 2 verse 18 we read, and when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge in a special way and delivered them out of the hand of all their enemies all the days of the judge. So this presence of God creates an atmosphere of deliverance as well. 1 Samuel 3, verse 19, and Samuel grew, not just in years, not just in stature, but in grace, in knowledge, in goodness, and understanding, and wisdom. And the Lord was with him. This presence of God creates an atmosphere of spiritual growth and usefulness. David continually escapes the javelin of Saul. It has drawn many to conclude that Saul was a terrible aim, but that's not the reason. But it says, 1 Samuel 18, verse 12, because the Lord was with him. Because the Lord was with him. Saul took careful aim. God redirected the arrow, or the javelin, or move the target. So this presence of God presents an atmosphere of protection. We see with Jehoshaphat in 1 Chronicles 17 that the presence of God gave him stability and strength. So it creates an atmosphere of establishment. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is a very present help. A very present assistance and relief and support in trouble. So it creates an atmosphere of help. Isaiah 43:2 again. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The atmosphere of God, the presence of God creates an atmosphere of comfort. It's no wonder that Moses wanted this presence of God. And you consider all of these things, it's no wonder what we read in Psalm 16, verse 11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. This special presence of God. This gracious presence of God creates an atmosphere of joy. There are those who profess salvation, and I have yet to see them happy. I'm not saying they've never been happy, I've just yet to see it. And if they are happy, they sure do a good job of hiding it. And I'm convinced that they live outside of the presence of God. Not the omnipresence of God, but they live outside the experience of the gracious presence of God. Because it's in that presence that there is fullness of joy. And we read in Psalm 140 and verse 13 that this presence of God is a place where we can dwell. It's a place where we can live. What a life to dwell in the presence of God. What a wonderful life. So in verse 14 of our text, we need to hear God say, my presence shall go with thee. And I need that every day. You need that every day. You need to be able to walk outside your door and hear those words, my presence shall go with thee. And you go on in your day, and there's that presence of God. You feel it. You see it. And God speaks to you, and you speak to God. And different circumstances arise. There's that presence of the Lord. This is what Moses is speaking of. This is what Moses knew he had to have. My presence shall go with thee. And isn't it reassuring when you hear God whisper in your ear, I'm with you. I'm with you. And know this, that His presence will change the atmosphere of any darkness. His gracious presence will change the atmosphere of any valley, of any difficulty, of any journey. My presence shall go with thee. Yea, though, thou art with me. What wonderful assurance, thou art with me. None of us know what this day is going to entail. I hope and pray that we know thou art with me. Thou art with me. Know how we ought to long for that presence. How we ought to pray for this special presence of God. We should not undertake any journey without praying, Lord, go with us. We should not undertake any decision without praying, God, be with me. Psalm 27, verse 8, we read, when thou said, seek ye my face, That's his presence, his face. And thou said, seek ye my face, my heart. Said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And our hearts ought to seek the presence of God. And we have this promise in Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. You will find me. You will have my presence. But seek it with all your heart. Seek it with all your heart. Desire and pursue his presence in all places. Because in our minds, it could be a good place, it could be a bad place, it could be an indifferent place. But I want to tell you, you need God's presence. I don't care what the place is. You need the presence of the Lord. And if one thing this COVID-19 has taught us, or reminds us, I should say, how quickly things can change. How quickly the Lord can bring the world to a standstill. And in the midst of all the change, God's presence doesn't change. So desire and pursue His presence in all places, in all circumstances, in all conditions. We need this presence of God. We need to be seeking His presence. So I challenge you each day, when you get up in the morning, pray for the presence of God in your life. Yes, I realize God's omnipresent. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about this special, gracious presence of God as your friend, as your enabler. Lord, go with me. Remind me along the way that you are with me. He does that by speaking to us. He does that by taking hold upon us. You mean that God actually takes hold? Yes, He does. How many times you've felt the hold of God? That's His presence. And we need that every day. And even more so in the days in which we live, the situations that we find ourselves in. So may we be a people that are always seeking the presence of God. How blessed we are to have experienced time and time again the presence of God. But it shouldn't be just an occasional thing. We should dwell in His presence. That's where we ought to live, in the presence of the Lord. I believe that I can come to the end of my life and I can say, thank you, Lord, for being with me. Amen. Throughout the journey, He has been there. And I'm thankful. Let's look to the Lord, word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for each one that has assembled here this day. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of doing so. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that we can experience your presence every single day of our lives. And we do pray, Lord, that you would go with us. Lord, that you would go with us every step of the way. Cause us, Lord, to feel your presence. Cause us, Lord, to know your presence. Cause us, Lord, to seek more of your presence at all times. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are. Thank you, Lord, for going with us. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to go with us every step of the way. We do pray for those who aren't here that desire to be here, Lord, that you'd help them. As many are shut in, we just pray, Lord, that you would cause them to feel your presence this day. We pray again, Lord, that you go with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.